Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com, where we talk movies and TV shows and comics. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me as always, my co-host, Nick Mason.
Woo-hoo-hoo! We went out to dinner this.
Yes.
I've had one cider. I'm flying. This is going to get loose. Watch out, iTunes. Watch out, comicbookmovie.com. You're all going to get a serving.
I had one beer.
Oh, yes.
A pint. It's like nothing to me. It's like air.
Yeah, I can tell. Yeah, you're actually quite subdued. Yeah. Oh, quick plug up front.
Sure.
Former guest on this show, Nicholas J. Johnson, has a new podcast.
Great bloke.
It's called Scammapalooza.
Okay.
And each week he brings in like an expert of something like scam artistry.
Like a comic book movie expert?
Well, or a magician, or in my case, I guess my area of expertise is hating things. So this week I'm on the show. We're talking about the magic movie, Now You See Me.
Oh, you hate that movie.
And we dismantle it.
You must be looking forward to the sequel, Now You See Me 2.
Look, spoiler alert,
yeah.
I kind of am. Because where's it going to go?
Well, it turns out, I guess spoiler alert for the first movie, Ruffalo did the whole thing.
And he did the whole
he
thing.
He made all the magic rooms and most of the holograms.
He made all the magics. He made turned everybody into money, if you recall.
That movie makes less sense than anything I've ever seen.
You know what? We were quite, I wouldn't say we were complimentary to it on the show, but on the prior episode that Nick had just recorded,
yeah,
he spoke to a friend of his, David Kwong, who was also a magician and was like the magic supervisor on that movie.
Oh.
And like the also like the script supervisor. So we were kind of like,
okay,
we didn't
right.
crush it as hard as we could
sure.
have. But we had a good time. It was a good fun episode. So if you, that should be on iTunes now. If you're listening to this, we're just going to talk some crap about comic books. So just stop.
Don't even bother.
Just download that. Scammapalooza, it's called. It's on iTunes.
We did 100. It's all downhill.
That's right.
We're going to do 100 more of like descending quality.
Oh, great.
Until it's just toilet noises.
I think we can achieve that. So, well.
Flush. Yeah. Okay. Did you see the picture of Matt Damon as Bourne?
Shirtless Matt Damon.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Does it look like a Bourne movie or more like some kind of Pit Fighter? Or
yeah, like a yeah,
remember Pit Fighter. Fighter video game?
Yeah.
Was that also a movie?
A Fight Club? No, it never became a movie.
Okay.
As far as I know.
I'm thinking of Bloodsport.
We would have covered it on our episode about
Pit
video
Fighter.
Game Pit Fighter and also video games that have been turned into movies.
You're right.
I don't know. It doesn't look particularly Bourne. It could be any movie where Matt Damon is an army guy or
yep.
a guy who fights somebody.
Could be Green Zone.
Could be Green Zone. Could be Greenzo, the David Schwimmer character from that episode of 30 Rock.
I don't remember that.
Greenzo.
Greenzo.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Well, are you excited to see it back?
I kind of am, yeah.
Okay.
Also, I'm watching a lot.
I want to see it go in a different direction.
I feel bad that I didn't see the Jeremy Renner one. I got nothing against
I didn't see
Renner.
It either.
Yeah.
But don't feel bad. Apparently, it's not that great. Apparently
then I don't
okay.
feel bad. I feel great about it.
Just so we're clear, those aren't crossing over either. That still exists. They're all in the same universe. Actually,
okay,
the Bourne universe is actually called the Renaverse. That was before Jeremy Renner got cast. That's just a coincidence. Yeah.
It's a weird coincidence.
It
yeah.
is. But no, that's... Was he supposed to take
it's
over?
It's named after Rene Russo.
Correct, yes.
The Renaverse.
But no, look, I want to see it go in... I want to see it go in a direction where I can tell that this movie is separate from the first three. Because those all blend together in one movie.
They absolutely do. There's a lot of... There's
been beating up French people in apartments.
French people in apartments, walking in between like trolley cars on the street, and then
absolutely.
He's gone, and then he's back,
yep.
and then he's in a building. Who knows what?
Exactly. running through Prague, snatching something off a clothesline.
Clive Owen is in one of them. Or first all one. Of them. First yeah. one. Yeah. So look, anyway, it could be, or yeah, I don't know. It looks yeah, good.
Yeah.
But he does look like a pit fighter of some kind. You're Great. Absolutely right.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Did you know Christopher Nolan's next project has been announced?
Ooh.
And by that I mean we know the date that it's going to be out, but we don't know anything else about it. Do you remember we had the same thing with Sad Farmer? What was the last one called?
Oh, Space... Interstellar?
Interstellar.
Interstellar, there we go. Space. I think that one beer has affected you more than you think, my
You're
friend.
You're probably right. Yeah. And I did like that movie, but do you remember there was like 2 years of like, what is this? Who is what?
Yeah.
Mm. Where am I? Who's in it? DiCaprio. No, he's not in it. There was a lot of that.
Oh, yeah.
Do you
yeah.
remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a lot of DiCaprio whispering in journalist ears. DiCaprio, is he in it?
Exactly.
Is DiCaprio in it?
But this one is due out July 21st, 2017. It is with Warner Brothers, which okay. isn't a surprise because most of his major projects. Some people are saying it could be a comic book movie, but I don't think it will be. I think it'll be
No, we'd know already.
We would, I guess.
Not because we have some amazing omnipresent thing, but
we do when we have one beer,
yeah,
or one drink each.
We know everything, but I think that the rumor mill would already have hit that and it would already yeah, be yeah. on comicbookmovie.com or what have it, the sure. great comicbookmovie.com.
That's right, but you know what? You could probably line up all the upcoming Warner Brothers movies and go, well, what's out in 2017? Oh, it could be any one of those. I don't remember off the top of my head what's out in 2017, but again, I don't think it's that. I think it's something else. I think he's done with that kind of stuff. But it also, it comes out a week after War of the Planet of the Apes or What Potter.
Oh yes.
And it also comes out a week before the new Spider-Man.
Mm.
So that's interesting.
Mm.
Do you think it'll be okay compared to those things? Because those are big things.
Yeah.
In terms of
look, I don't know. Movies. I don't know how I feel about Christopher Nolan anymore.
Because of that one movie.
Yeah.
Or because of The Dark Knight Rises. Because the two movies.
Yeah. Just I don't know. I think it's a trend. It's a whole.
You think there's something? You think this is all gonna go like this podcast?
Like this podcast? It's a downward spiral. Yeah.
It's a toilet sounds.
It's a toilet sounds. Okay. Oh, how would people review Christopher Nolan's toilet sounds though? Oh.
Yeah, look, I think it'll be fine. It depends who writes it, I guess, and it depends on a lot of things. But yeah, look, yeah. I think we can expect something spectacular and
yep.
practical and probably some sadness and maybe something Great. That... You know what? I think that guy, though, whenever he makes something, I think the amount that his movies get picked to death is unfair. But is that because he's always kind of... People assume that his movies are set in the real world and they should... all makes sense. Do you know what I mean by that? Like his movies really get like torn apart in terms
yeah,
of,
yeah.
well, if you know, even like Inception, which I know you like as well, but people tear that apart and well, how does this work and what levels, whatever. And was Batman really in that cafe or whatever? Whatever happened in that
That
movie?
Is a good, yeah, that is a good question.
Do you know
That's
what I
the
mean?
Most pertinent question. Yeah, I think you're right. I don't know though. My problem, and I've said this before about Nolan, is there's always some sort of weird logical flaw in
okay.
some weird element in his movies that I did. Again, if it were more of a fantasy world, I'd be like, oh, no. Even then I wouldn't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming it's still for you in The Dark Knight Rises, it's the pit, right?
It's how did he, yeah, the whole situation.
There's a video on it.
Yeah, there's a video that you can find that.
Yeah, you can find that.
Yeah.
All right, enough of that then. Ryan wants to know, what did you think of the Jessica Jones Netflix teaser? And what do you guys hope to see from it? Have you seen it?
Yes.
What'd you think?
We didn't learn anything.
No. I mean, they showed some kind of hints of like, this is where she's going.
She's definitely got a drinking problem. We know that.
That's right.
Because we see her tipping over whiskey glass.
A lot of purple. Because the purple man is in it. Yep. David Tennant. But he's not actually purple. He just wears purple suits. Which to me is a cop out.
She'd be the purple garbed man.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah. We know she's part of Alias Investigations.
Correct.
They've kept that part of it.
I wonder how much of her superpowers they're going to give her. Do you reckon they'll give her? Because, you know, in the comics, she's like super overpowered, but she doesn't tend to use them.
Yeah.
Not overpowered, but, you know, she's got a lot.
And it's also, it is, because this is set in the Marvel Universe as a whole, how long was she a superhero?
Well, that's a good question.
And why has nobody noticed, I think is the question.
I don't, if I had to guess,
yeah.
which I don't have to, but I will.
Oh, yes. You kind of have to.
She probably has a go at superheroing once and it goes south.
Oh, like for one
yeah.
day.
Maybe something like that. Maybe we don't know anything about
it. Or maybe she's from a small town?
Yeah, sure.
Maybe it's not New York City.
Yeah.
Or
no, it is. The show is in
New York City. I mean, like she was...
Oh, okay.
She was from... Yeah. Or maybe... maybe... okay, here's a theory, because they seem to tie a lot of Marvel tangential stuff to like the attack on New York City the first Avengers. Maybe she discovers her powers.
Yep.
Then she participates in the Battle of New York.
Okay.
Like she discovers her powers like a few weeks prior.
Yeah.
She participates in the Battle of New York. She gets knocked out. She gets kidnapped by the Purple Man.
Okay, I mean, cool.
That's how it turns out.
That means they'd have to CGI some Chitauri back in.
I can probably do that. It's probably cheap at this point. Yeah. But I think, and then they could, then we could, that could explain why, because they're, you know, at this point, a few years have passed.
Yep.
So they could say, well, that's where she's been.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's it, exactly. Like, they'll need to put in that whole Purple Man thing of how he kidnapped her and used her and
for
all sorts of nefarious schemes and whatever. Mm-hmm. But no, I'm very much looking forward to this. My also, Luke Cage is going to be in it. So that's
great.
That's pretty exciting before we see his series next year. Next year. Can't remember. Haven't been much on Iron Fist lately either. You notice that? Kind of gone. I heard there was rumblings that they were having trouble casting it and, or maybe not casting it, but kind of cracking the story.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
And it's hard to find an actor that actually has an iron fist.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, you could make one.
How?
Like cut off a man's hand and replace it with an iron fist.
Sure. Yeah.
Who would do that? Probably Brendan Gleeson.
Brendan Gleeson would cut off. Yeah, no, he'd cut off it. Yeah.
Great. Yeah. We saw another picture of Apocalypse this week.
Which looks a lot better. That was tweeted to us
that
by a number of
amazing,
people.
Amazing, yeah. Looks better.
So what is the...
They must have tweaked it. Or that he kind of can morph into that.
Right.
Do you think any of that is a response to fan kind of backlash? Where you've just put a man in a purple suit?
See, that's it. I don't know how far into filming they are.
Yeah. No, I think, no, they're done. They're finished.
Hmm.
That we think we talked about that.
So then they would have had to reshoot, I assume, every scene that has Apocalypse in it.
No, I think they just CGI it.
Huh.
They don't need to do that anymore. We've got a computer. One computer in Hollywood. I mean, it's a very busy computer. Yeah. It tends to overheat, so you've got to put a bag of like peas underneath it to cool
it down.
Sure,
yeah. Hmm.
I think it looks great, though. I think it looks... Look, I'm happy if we just see like Apocalypse as we did in that image that we saw in Entertainment Weekly or whatever it was. And then when he... powers up or morphs, he changes into whatever that is. I don't care. I'm happy that he looks like that, though.
It may be kind of like an insectoid kind of thing. Like he kind of...
Sure.
He's gradually changing into that over a period of time or something like that. Or maybe like he's like in like a reptile shedding skin kind of thing.
Okay.
Because he was kind of more reptilian in that previous shot, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, he was Power Ranger-y, but he was also kind of reptilian.
Noticed, yeah.
So maybe that's him kind of like molting.
Okay.
Hmm.
I'm all for any of those things.
I'm against the original photo, and I'm for this photo, so...
Did you see the picture of Angel?
Has he even got
well?
The weird lips
yeah,
thing?
Seems like he does, yeah. Mm. Did you see the picture of Angel?
No, does he look better?
80s, yeah.
Angel, Archangel?
80s. Yes.
Metal wings.
I didn't see them. Mm. I think it was like an on-set thing.
Sure, it wasn't just some guy?
No, it was definitely because it was left next to Olivia Munn's Psylocke.
Oh.
Or whoever. She's playing Psylocke, isn't she?
Yes.
Great. Very exciting times for movies, isn't it?
I love movies.
You do. I've seen you cheer in a theater. Which I've never seen you do that. Have you ever done that?
No.
I've never done that either.
Give me an example of a time you've been in a movie and somebody's cheered for that movie.
When we went and saw Rocky 6, I want to say
Rocky
it was.
Balboa?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
At the start, some guy went, "Yeah, Adrian!" at the start, and nobody laughed, and then he shut up for the rest of the movie. That's
good.
Not really a cheer.
Wonder where he is now.
Okay, look, if you sit next to any of your friends' mum when you're watching a DVD, she'll probably say cheer during whatever movie you're watching. Like, be like, "You can do it, Captain America," or whatever.
Huh.
Or, "Who's that guy?" Just, I don't know. That one isn't a cheer either.
No. We hear more of that at football games. Yeah. Who's that guy? I'm saying it enthusiastically.
Preacher.
Oh, yeah. So we were talking about this before this, we were like, should we mention this? And then I got a heart, like, bloody cider in me, and I'm like, yeah, let's mention this. So I was watching Nerdist News during the week.
Yeah.
And they were saying that they had gotten a hold of AMC's Preacher pilot script.
Yeah.
And they were looking at it. And this is...
By gotten a hold, do you think they were given it?
I think they were given it, yeah.
Yeah.
And... This is a direct quote, and by direct quote, I mean misquote, because I can't really remember how it went.
Sure.
But they said, "This script is really good because it diverts so much from the source material."
That's what I'm looking for in a thing.
Yeah, that seems...
Look, I haven't read any of Preacher. It's one of those things I've been meaning to read for ages. But by all accounts, that is pretty much one of the most perfect comic book runs of all time.
Look, it's not my favourite Garth Ennis work. My favourite is probably Hitman.
It's probably my favourite, but...
Yeah, you would bloody... You son of... Anyway, but my favourite is Hitman, not Agent 47 Hitman, but DC's Hitman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I do like Preacher as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, for a lot of people I know, that's their favourite comic book series of all time.
Sure. Like me.
Yeah, so it's odd, and you would be in an uproar that they're changing it, and I think it's very odd.
Yeah.
So for people who don't know Preacher, essentially, he's a Southern preacher, Jesse Custer. There is a being called Genesis, which is the product of it's like the spawn of an angel and a demon.
Cool.
And then it sort of comes down from heaven and it enters into the body of Jesse Custer, and it does two things. One, it kills his entire congregation.
Oh.
And it gives him the power. It gives him what he calls the word of God. He can tell somebody to do something and they have to do it.
Cool.
Like he can say, count all the grains of sand on that beach and they have to go and do it, kind of thing. But apparently in this pilot script...
How would you even do that? Like, does it give you the means to do it?
No. Ah. You just have to keep at it. If you lose count, you start again. So in the comic books, he, because his congregation are killed senselessly, he's like, well, God is responsible for this. I'm going to find God. He's got an ex-girlfriend who's a hired killer and a vampire, like an Irish vampire called Cassidy. And they all go, they figure out that God is on Earth somewhere, so they sort of go on a road trip to kind of track him down.
Okay.
But in this pilot script, apparently, the Genesis coming down to Earth and imbuing with his powers doesn't kill his congregation. And so there's a lot of him like protecting his congregation. Now, I don't watch The Walking Dead, AMC's The Walking Dead, but there's a lot of buggering around, right?
There's too much buggering around.
There's just a lot of wandering about.
There's a lot of, it's like those post-it note situations you're talking about where situations could be solved by just writing a clear explanation on a post-it note and handing it to somebody.
Right, exactly, yeah.
There's a lot of, I don't know, it gets a lot of acclaim and a lot of people like it, but it's not as good as the ratings. The ratings are way better than that show is.
Just reading a book of ratings
yes.
is better than that. So, but and there's, you know, there's apparently like newer scenes of like Genesis going around the world and trying to find other hosts and all this sort of stuff, which isn't in the comic books. And I don't know, it seems... Look, here's my theory.
Sure.
I like Nerdist. I like all the stuff they do, but they've got a pre-existing relationship with AMC.
Absolutely.
They did Talking Dead. They did Talking Bad, which is sort of... You know, after the fact, talk shows about The Walking Dead and Breaking Bad and stuff like that. And I kind of think they've gone, we kind of want another one of those shows.
Yeah.
Let's
not burn a bridge.
Let's not burn a bridge. Let's be as positive as we can about this. You know what? And I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it's going to be bad necessarily. Yeah. I mean, it's got Garth Ennis on board as like an executive producer, I think. And he's going to, or, you know, story editor or something like that.
Sure.
And, you know, he probably, you know, has a hand in making it as good as it can be. But look, I'm just saying.
Well, Walking Dead has Robert Kirkman on board.
Oh.
But I feel like, again, that show could be way better than what it is.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, look, so all I'm saying is no one's ever said, I really like the look of this new comic book to TV or movie property because it diverges so much from the
it's weird
original
that
series.
Exactly. Specifically because they changed a whole lot of stuff.
But anyway, they're like, oh, the action looks cool, so no, it's fine.
Looks cool when they read it.
When they read it. When they read it and put it in their mind. Great. Television.
Did you know that Batman's role in Batman v Superman is apparently being beefed up, but at the expense of Superman's role in Batman versus Superman?
Ooh.
V Superman?
More specific, what do you got?
That's all I got. It's the rumor that, look, Warner Brothers are so happy and enamored with Batman. They're all that he's about that they've cut back kind of... This is rumor that they've cut back Superman's role to make room for more Batman-related Batmaning.
Okay.
Do you think that is... Let's say, hypothetically, if that's true, do you care?
I want it half and half.
Yeah, I want it half and half too.
And I understand that the last one was Man of Steel.
Yes.
And Superman's got to take center stage there, and the next one's going to be Batman and blah, blah, blah. But I think you want a half and half in this.
Yeah. Like, I mean, they are establishing a new Batman, I guess.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people going into this will be like, is this the same Batman as in the other Batman?
Yeah, and I think also maybe Batman is the cash cow.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't know how many lunchboxes Superman sells, but movie-wise,
yeah,
there's been a couple. There was Superman Returns.
Yep.
And that's it. And Man of Steel.
Yeah.
But there's been, you know, five Batman movies and then five Nolan Batman, Nolan Batman movies and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So
exactly, yeah.
He's the movie seller Batman, so, you know what I mean?
You're right.
I am.
I hope this doesn't, I don't know, I'd like to see a really, really good Superman movie. Mm. And I'm skeptical.
Watch Man of Steel, my friend. That's what you should do.
I like a lot of Man of Steel. But it's not perfect.
You are still having some trouble.
I am.
With your Superman kill count.
It'll be up by now, I'd imagine. Yes. But yeah, I'm definitely.
Just know, listeners, when you watch that, it's torturing him. It's probably torturing him right now, even though it's out. He's like, did I do the right thing with my video?
I probably
didn't. You didn't.
One of the big things I think point of contention will that be is, I messaged you, aside from him smashing down the city, which cannot be calculated.
Yeah.
Thank you to everybody who's been emailing to help me with that, but there's no actual way of working out how many deaths he is responsible for out of all of that.
Yeah.
But I put in the one where, unless I chickened out, where Ursula, he drains Ursula of her powers in Superman 2 and Lois Lane punches her and she falls into a pit of nothingness and he watches it happen.
Yes.
But your explanation was, any death that happens in the room that he is in is on him.
I feel that's true. Yeah. Like, you know, with Superman's, you know, his dilemma isn't that he can't save everybody in the world.
Yeah.
Right? Because obviously, even with his superpowers, he can't.
Yeah.
His greatest fear is that he's there with somebody and they're dying and he can't stop that.
Like happened in that comic, the Hitman.
Like
comic.
In the Hitman. Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, like, I feel that if Superman is in a room with somebody and they're dying and he could...
Unless it's like a heart attack or something like that, yeah.
And if he'd obviously stop that and he doesn't, that's on him.
Yep.
Like, there's no... Like, they're super criminals, but they're still, you know, sentient beings and he wouldn't want to kill them.
Yeah.
So he would rescue her.
Yes.
But he doesn't. Yes. So that's on him.
And I know there is a cut of that where they survive.
Yeah.
But not in the real kind of...
The Richard Donner.
The Richard Donner. Or either of the versions.
I don't think I've ever seen
that. No, sorry. In the Richard Donner cut, he reverses time and they're trapped back in the Phantom Zone.
But okay,
in the theatrical cut, he doesn't rescue them or anything. They just die.
So I may have only... See, I've only seen one of them. So I must have seen the Richard Donner one because that's the finale I remember is that they end up back in the Phantom Zone.
Weird.
Yeah.
Mm. And with Non... It was another henchman.
Yep.
He jumps to
his
death.
He's the big one, yeah.
Yeah, he goes to fly and he can't and he falls to his death. Again, he could have caught him. But not only that, that's like cutting the brake lines in someone's car and then them going into a tree.
Yep.
Like you still caused that. Mm. Anyway, look, I'm interested to see what people think though about that regardless. Yeah.
Look, I'll save you some time and some trouble. You got it wrong.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Now, did you listen to Jedi Council? I think I mentioned before.
Should I have done that?
It's a really good podcast. It's just all Star Wars.
You've thrown this. You've bloody ambushed me with this.
Sorry.
Have you listened to Jedi Council of the 50,000 podcasts? Have you listened to this specific one?
I should have said, have I mentioned it?
No.
No. And it's really good. Christian Harloff runs it.
Have you seen, there's a recent press photo of the current crop of NASA astronauts. They're all dressed as Jedi.
No.
And they've all got different colored lightsabers. Track that down on the internet. It's pretty good. But they're all wearing classic brown Jedi robes. They're wearing like prequel robes.
Is this show just going to be each of us asking if we've seen
it? Yes, it is. This is what we're doing. This is this week.
Just all one-upmanship.
Yep.
Yeah. But anyway, Christian Harloff, who runs that, it was informed by a source that apparently episode 7 is going to have the teaser for Rogue One, which is the Star Wars spin-off, after the credits.
Oh.
So that would be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Do you remember, like, because I'm trying to think. The Matrix did that, didn't they?
Yes, they did,
Between 2 and 3.
Yes, they did. You're right, yeah.
And there was also talk of DC maybe doing it, but I think that...
They were going to... That was the rumor that they were going to do a cliffhanger at the end of every movie.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see, won't we?
Buh.
Yeah, but what do you think of that?
Great.
I think it's smart to put the trailer out or the teaser out for the next Star Wars movie after...
Because they might forget about Star Wars. If you don't put a trailer out after the Star Wars you're currently watching, you'll forget about Star Wars.
I mean, Rogue One comes out next December of next year.
Yes.
So technically, if they were going to go by the rules of what they did for this one coming up, they'd put the trailer out in like November or December, whenever they did, like a year before.
Yeah, yeah.
But they shouldn't put the trailer for the next Star Wars out before even the latest one is going to come out.
Yes.
So I think that makes a lot of sense.
Mm.
I'm looking forward to Star Wars.
Me Are too, you? Kinda, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Star Wars.
But again, I've had one cider, so
just make sure you have one cider. Have one cider before you go see Star Wars. Okay, good point. Yeah, you'll be bloody enthused, mate. Is it the picture of Hawkgirl and Hawkman?
I did see that. Yeah, not Hawkwoman?
No, I guess not.
Oh,
that's what it says. They're going to debut in both The Arrow and The Flash and then Legends of Tomorrow, which actually started filming. It'll be out early next year.
Are they going to be main characters in Legends of Tomorrow?
I assume so.
Huh.
I mean, we'll have to wait.
Until... How did they not appear in the trailer? Probably appear in the second episode.
I think that trailer was shot. Well, they've only just started filming the series.
Okay.
So maybe that was from the pilot. If they did a pilot, I have no idea. Or maybe that was just a little promo they kind of made, but whatever. Yeah. You looking forward to Legends of Tomorrow?
Yeah, kind of. Sure. I don't know. Look, I'm looking forward to the Prison Break brothers appearing in it, and Brandon Routh as the Atom.
Yep.
Somebody else I can kind of take or leave, I guess.
You got the bloody time traveling guy Rory from bloody Doctor Who. What's his name?
Rip Hunter.
Rex Manning.
Rex. Yes.
You've seen Empire Records, right?
Yes.
Not as good as you'd think it would was.
Right. People built it up. It's people's favorite movie.
When I saw that when I was like a teenager, I was like, this is exactly the best movie.
Well, when I saw... No, I'm not going to... No one-upmanship. Hawkman and Hawkgirl, they definitely fit in that universe. Yeah. Like aesthetically, they've gone like, okay, leather uniform. What colors do we have left? Brown. Let's do it.
You don't even have to dye a brown leather.
Yeah.
I'm assuming leather's just brown, right?
Well, it's more an ecru. Well, they had to dye it brown.
You're one-upping me with colours that
yes,
I don't
I
know.
Yes, I am. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Great. Did you hear? This is the last bit of news.
Okay.
King Kong is moving to Warner Brothers, away from Universal, who were making it.
Okay.
So it's the Skull Island movie that's coming out. But the reason...
Is it called King Kong Skull Island now? What is it?
I think it's just called Skull Island.
Okay.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. But the main reason they're doing that is because Warner Brothers also have Godzilla. King Kong
together. Oh, finally.
Yeah. Well, again, they've done it already.
The first time, yes.
Have you seen that one?
No, just clips of
it. I haven't either.
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to one-up you. Yeah. I was a bit. But we both
I've seen
lost.
More clips than you have.
That's probably
all right?
True.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I don't. What? Here's the thing.
Size discrepancy.
Yes. Like, that's... Current Godzilla is the biggest Godzilla.
Yeah.
And I feel that current King Kong isn't the biggest King Kong even.
But we haven't seen current King Kong.
Oh.
Because Skull Island...
Is he literally hundreds of feet tall?
Well, that's my question. Because that kind of takes away from King Kong if he's that big. Because the point is he's supposed to be able to pick up a person in his hand and like...
Yeah.
Kiss a little blonde woman or whatever.
Right, exactly.
And go ice skating on his butt.
I mean, the size of King Kong has varied quite wildly.
Yes.
Was there an explanation in the original Godzilla versus King Kong as to why?
You've seen more clips than me, mate.
Yeah, that's a good point. I should know, shouldn't I? Let's assume.
There's probably some kind of shrink or growy ray.
Growy ray.
Look,
yeah.
It wouldn't be a shrink ray. They're not shrinking anyone down, are they?
No, absolutely not. But then, no, because it'd be growy ray, because then you could also pay less to make smaller buildings.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That
that's
they
a
could
good
stomp.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's a very good point.
Otherwise, you have to build slightly larger fake little buildings.
That's right.
So.
What about if it was like regular size?
King Kong's got no chance.
No.
Atomic breath. He'd bloody shoot it down the throat and then tear King Kong's head off.
King Kong is essentially a gorilla. I mean, he is a gorilla.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's all he's got.
Yeah.
And he's furry.
Yes.
He'd just burst into flames. Just imagine just a large gorilla.
Yeah.
Just surrounded in blue fire, just frantically running from Skull Island to leap into the ocean. Because he's just burning to a cinder. You know what I mean?
Do you not want to see that?
No, I do now. I mean, I'll watch the clip. In like 20 years' time, I'll watch the clip.
The other question I have about this is, Skull Island is a prequel to King Kong.
Yes.
So does that mean that Skull Island is set in the modern day and Godzilla is like, and it's all set now? Or is it like, because Godzilla's been around for years.
Yeah.
For thousands of millions of years. So is it set back in the 1930s or whenever?
I think it might have to be, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you know, we know that in the new Godzilla timeline, they tried to kill him in the 50s with nuclear blasts.
They did.
Near an island.
Yes.
King Kong's from an island. It's
He's
all
not
coming
from
together.
A tropical island, is he? It's like a jungle island.
That's tropical.
Yeah, I guess.
They visited in winter. Now imagine it in summer.
You're right. What about this? Regular size King Kong.
Yes.
Godzilla, but there's like 50 King Kong. So it's like fighting a barrel of monkeys.
Oh, that's very good.
Yeah.
That explains why there's only one King Kong now.
Because he's bloody, they've all burnt.
It's just 90 minutes of, it's just 90 minutes of Godzilla just burning little King Kongs.
I don't know how they're going to make this work. No, I'm sure they can.
What if it's more a team up?
Okay. Who are they going to fight?
Mothra. Maybe Mothra's
a
good guy.
He's a dickhead, mate.
Yeah, that's true.
Godzilla's got that. They don't need,
yeah.
Yeah.
Look,
he's a moth.
I'm going to say team up. Okay. I'm going to say classic superhero team
up. Like a Jurassic World style team up, like happened at the end of Jurassic World with the raptor and the T-Rex.
Yes, kind of. Okay. I reckon they fight for a bit, yep. Then they're mates.
Okay.
The classic team, the classic Superman versus Batman.
Okay.
Fight for a while, then they're mates. And mate, you know, and you could have Godzilla. What you could do is you could have a brief fight sequence, yep, where it seems they're evenly matched.
Yeah.
Like King Kong is faster and you kind of leap about him and, sure, leap on his back and stuff.
Yeah.
And then they realize that they've got the mutual goal of stopping the monster.
Yeah.
But you know, like as leaving the cinema, you go, hey, hang on, if that fight went on 30 more seconds,
yeah,
King Kong would just be torn to shreds.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, I got this. I've written this movie.
Okay, how about this?
Yes.
The villain is a mech that's gone rogue.
Oh, in the 30s, in 1930s, steampunk mech. Yes.
Yeah, all those, whatever.
Yeah, great. We've written this.
I guess I want to see it. I want to see how they do it.
Cut us the check, Universal or Paramount or Warner Brothers, or whichever one you are.
Yeah.
Great, we did it.
It's interesting that that Universal gave up that, though.
Yeah.
Interesting. Anyway, they've got Furious Sevens and they've got Jurassic World as well. They got a bunch of stuff, so.
Mm.
And Minions. That's a
People love their Minions.
That's a thing, isn't it?
Something about bananas. I haven't seen it. I don't know. Is that up?
No, Minions are like...
No, but they like bananas.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen it either.
I've seen
fewer clips than you. I win. Ha!
I've seen the first one.
Yep.
It's called Despicable Me.
Yes.
And I didn't see the sequel or the Minions.
Okay.
But they like bananas, so I'm told.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of mother or sales. I definitely prefer. Don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, NYX, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. You know what's really annoying? When you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot. Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect.
All right, that's all the news for this week, Mason. News. Do you want to do a segment?
Let's do a segment. We've been talking about various bits and pieces. Like to do that. No, but we're going to talk about comic books this week. Because you love comic books, though. They're your favorite thing. Yeah, but I was thinking that, you know, Marvel's currently doing this sort of this Secret Wars massive crossover. And they're essentially... they're killing the Ultimate Universe.
Yes.
Finally. Like, they attempted to do it with Ultimatum, where they essentially had this massive cataclysm destroy the whole world.
Yep.
That didn't work for some reason.
Then they're writing it. How does it not work?
I don't know. Just kept sticking around. I don't know. Maybe Stan Lee was like, oh, no, I think it's got more. No, it doesn't, Stan. And then they bloody killed Original Recipe Spider-Man.
Yep.
That didn't work.
Yep.
Now they're just like, yeah, I'll just erase it from history or something. I don't know. None of us understand our Secret Wars.
What are we doing? Yeah.
And we're all I think a few weeks ago we were talking about, you know, the slate of movies, comic book superhero movies that are going to come out in the next couple of years. And we noticed that there's some Valiant movies
there.
There
is, yeah.
Like, Valiant is the comic book company that will not die. Like, it will. Like, it just keeps coming back.
Yeah, yeah.
I like him, but, you know.
You're a big fan.
But, yeah, I mean... So I thought maybe this week we could talk about, like, comic book universes that don't exist anymore.
Sure.
And look, I'm going to rate them. We're talking about it. We'll just throw some stuff in here. I don't have any notes. I'm just going to wing it.
People have been asking this as well.
Yeah.
We get a lot of emails about this.
Look, it's basically going to be a lot of, hey, remember this? And you can be like, no. And I might...
You're going to win this. Planned this. You're going to one-up me for 40
that's
minutes.
That's right. And then I might... Well, tell you what, we can recommend some of the stuff you should maybe... try and track down.
You can
or not track
it.
Down. And maybe I'll rate them on how much I wish they were coming back.
Okay.
Or not coming back.
Great. Do you want to start with Valiant?
Let's start with the Ultimate Universe. So you can talk about a little bit about
sure.
The, what do you think about the Ultimate Universe just generally?
Spider-Man's pretty good.
Yeah, great.
The rest of it can fuck off. it's not all bad.
Yeah,
it's not.
Go ahead.
Good intentions to start with, but it quickly fell off the rails.
Yeah, I mean, for people who haven't been across the Ultimate Marvel Universe, essentially like a decade or so ago, Marvel were like...
comics are confusing.
Comics are really confusing. We have this universe of characters that they've all been around for decades. They all have relationships with one another.
Yep.
They all, you know, and readers are supposed to know that inherently, like how does Spider-Man, you know, think about Wolverine and whatever kind of thing.
What does he think about Wolverine?
They're on board, they're mates.
Good.
But you wouldn't know that if you just picked one up. And
no.
Anyway, so, and I think also because a lot of Marvel properties, like their origins were back in the 60s. And so you think of the origin of Spider-Man, he's there, you know, at Midtown High or whatever, and he's got his Argyle vest and his bow tie and his glasses and his weird hair, and he's hanging out with Harry Osborn, who's got his weird hair and
even
his
weirder
Argyle
hair.
Vest and his glasses and his bow tie or whatever,
and you only know who's who because they say their names
to
each other.
Exactly. And And I think Marvel were like, well, sales are flagging a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's, maybe it's because people can't relate to these characters so much anymore. They don't understand the continuity. Mm. So we'll have this continuity-free reboot of the universe, like a modern-day reboot.
Yeah.
And for a while, it went really well.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because it was initially, they were saying, okay, this universe isn't going to turn out like the like it could go in any direction you want. But I think ultimately, maybe fan demand made it go in exactly the direction it went before.
It did seem that that happened a
like
lot,
initially,
yeah.
You know, there were some interesting twists. Like I think, Spider-Man had a relationship with Kitty Pryde, I think,
okay.
from the X-Men, which was a new, might have been Kitty Pryde.
Someone else.
But, you know, and it was kind of, you know, we've given these characters new relationships and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but then eventually it sort of became this race to add as many ultimate versions of all the characters as possible.
Sure.
So in attempting to have this universe that was free of continuity and like, you know, uncluttered with all these extraneous characters, they made it just as cluttered in like a quarter of the time in years less time, like 25 years less time.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, the people are like, oh my God, what is, you know, we've got Ultimate Spider-Man, we've got Ultimate Fantastic Four. What does Ultimate Deadpool look like? And so somebody had to sort of rush in and, oh, who's going to do that? Is it the X-Men writers? Are they going to do it? Or, you know, the Ultimates or whatever?
Or was that exciting initially to be like, oh, what is that person?
Yeah, kind of,
like?
Yeah. Or like Ultimate Venom. What's Ultimate Venom going to be like? Because we didn't have the original Secret War. So
it's
where's
just a
that?
Bigger version of Venom.
Yeah, kind of. But he was a science experiment.
That's true. Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Yeah. But and then sort of the race was so big that
that's a better origin.
Yeah, it really is. The better
than the movie.
Yeah, but it the race got so intense. I think that there are actually, if you look hard enough, there are actually kind of over, like sometimes they've doubled up on characters. Like there was a two limited series, Ultimate Secret and Ultimate Nightmare, which had sort of Galactus arriving, you know, the ultimate version of Galactus.
He's like a nanobot cloud.
Yeah, he's like a nanobot cloud of sort of probes and stuff like that.
Sure.
And like the Galactus has to have a Silver Surfer.
Yeah.
So initially the Silver Surfers were kind of these probes that they sent out originally, like these silver probes that could sort of become silver humanoid forms.
Okay.
And they sort of started death cults around the world. That was their opening move.
Okay.
But then like a couple of years later, the Ultimate Universe creators were just like, you know, we could probably just use a regular Silver Surfer. So they just put in a regular Silver Surfer again. So
So it's amazing how quickly they kind of hamstrung themselves with their own continuity. Uh-huh.
Yeah,
so so the idea was to have like a crisp, clean new universe.
New slate, yeah.
And they basically just made two really complicated universes.
Boy, did they ever, yeah.
And what do you like from it though?
Look, I like, we've talked about Mark Miller on this show before.
Yeah.
Mark Miller was sort of behind the Ultimates, which was like the Ultimate Universe version of the Avengers.
Yep.
And I think a lot of that carried over to the Avengers, the movie version of the Avengers.
Okay.
We got kind of like a modern take on a lot of those characters, which I think were kind of stuffy.
Captain America's the president.
Yeah.
Isn't he in that version?
At some point, I think he is. But look, the characterization of Captain America, they didn't keep a hold of, which I think is for the best. He's a little bit xenophobic.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's kind of, yeah.
Do you think because they were like, well, people think Captain America's boring because he's just a war veteran and a straight up and down guy. So
I think
like,
that's probably,
we'll just make him xenophobic.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
But I think like elements of like, there's a storyline, ultimate storyline where Thor is, the sort of the world is tricked into thinking Thor is just a regular guy who's stolen some like super soldier equipment and that's why, you know, he thinks he's Thor and et cetera. And that sort of carried over into the movie where everybody just thought he was this lunatic trying to steal a hammer kind of thing, you know?
Absolutely. And as we know, the new Fantastic Four movie is, it's essentially the ultimate version, whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
Probably not for the best.
No. Well, you know what? I don't mind that version.
Yes.
But that's, yeah. Let's just leave it there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? This is off topic, but I don't know.
No, let's mostly do off topic because if I'm honest with you, a lot of these, again, I haven't got any notes and a lot of this is just going to be like, hey, bloody, how about this one, hey?
Absolutely.
There was this guy and this guy. You know what I mean?
Somebody wrote it, I can't remember who, it was this week and said, like, why do you like Superman so much?
Uh-huh.
And this is like for the same reason I like Captain America. What makes them interesting to me is not when they get all edgy and cool and whatever. I like that they're very straight down the line and they have this unbreakable moral code and they will keep that code despite being faced with insurmountable odds.
Yes.
And it's interesting to me watching them how they can keep that code or even bend it a little bit without breaking it.
Yeah, yeah.
In certain situations. That's why I like them. Like, I don't think they're boring characters, but I think the way you got to write those stories is you obviously, the situation they're in has to be more interesting. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, that makes a lot of sense. And I think a lot of people will say, oh, why can't, you know, Superman be edgier or whatever, and, you know, all that. But I think that there's, at this point, there's enough sort of homages to Superman around.
Yeah.
That if you want to see, oh, what would happen if Superman, you know, went insane because he couldn't handle the pressure and he just started killing. Well, we've got Irredeemable.
Exactly.
Or what if, you know, Superman was just a super cool dude and he was drawn by Rob Liefeld? Well, that's Supreme. You know what I mean? That's kind
absolutely,
of any variation of these characters.
You can have.
Yeah, we can talk about them. Yeah.
We should do that episode.
I mean, if we can talk about that, a universe, some of these are going to be universes. Like, when we're talking about defunct kind of comic book universes, not necessarily publishers, because they wouldn't necessarily have a shared universe.
Sure.
But some, maybe I will talk about that, because who knows? Because I've got a weird stuff written down. But a universe that's actually a Marvel imprint was called Supreme Power.
Okay.
It was in the 2000s.
Sure.
So if we're talking about a Superman kind of character, where would, you know, what would happen if you decided to be a blah, 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 blah. There was... In the 70s, Marvel created a team of superheroes called the Squadron Supreme, which were essentially a shameless ripoff slash parody of the Justice League.
Great.
And I think it was kind of a case of like, we'll introduce them and they'll be kind of like bumbling versions of the Justice League and we'll show that the Avengers are better and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But like we had Hyperion, who was the kind of the Superman. We had Nighthawk, who was Batman. Mm. We had the Flash analog in The Wizzer.
Yes.
Who wore a yellow costume.
Yes.
Unfortunate. We had Dr. Spectrum, who was Green Lantern, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. And they existed in sort of a parallel universe.
Sure.
And there was actually a storyline in their sort of one of their later appearances where they do, you know, it was sort of a Justice League story in the sense of it's these people who have amazing technology and amazing powers.
Mm.
And they're like, people always say, well, you know, what would Superman do if he could, why doesn't Superman just end all war and end all crime and do all this sort of stuff. They've got all the powers. And it was a storyline where they actually, you know, they did that. It was this universe where they're like, well, we've got these, you know, we've got the ability to alter people's brainwaves and we can do all this sort of stuff. So let's do that. And it's kind of a universe where that all sort of fell apart.
Okay.
Kind of thing. But anyway, in the 2000s, on Marvel's Max imprint, they did a series called Supreme Power, which was the modern day reinterpretation of that. And it was sort of a universe where we had a Superman-like character who came to Earth as a baby.
Yeah.
But instead of his capsule being recovered by a kindly couple in Kansas, it was recovered by the US government,
right,
who then raised him on this sort of diet of propaganda of the United States being the best and blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
And then, you know, he finally discovered the illusion of the world and he sort of broke out and he went rogue. And it was the start of this. I know exactly. You know what I'm talking about. And it was kind of, it was this, you know, it's the Max imprint. So it was mature ages, which means swearing and blood.
Good.
People getting their heads punched off.
Nice.
And look, this is a universe that I wish kept going.
Yeah.
Because it built up a great mythology and then we never got a payoff because the series ended.
Okay.
Like, because we had, spoiler alert for all these, by the way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, exactly. So, but basically we had this guy, you know, he develops these powers and he starts, you know, solving problems in the world called, and he's, you know, he's Hyperion. And then all of a sudden we see these other superheroes start popping up in the world. We see Dr. Spectrum, who's used like an element of his, you know, his spaceship, and it's given him incredible powers.
Right.
We see this woman, Power Princess, who is Wonder Woman, who sort of emerged from a hibernation to sort of re-explore the world.
Cool.
And we have like other superheroes popping up. And then we discover later on in this series that the reason some of these heroes are popping up is because his spaceship, when it was arriving on Earth, sort of seeded DNA across the world to develop these superheroes.
Yeah.
And we get the sense that they're all intended as opponents for him.
Oh,
as
right.
to sort of to train him up for something,
but
we never find out what it is. You know what I'm talking about?
That sounds amazing. That's a really
good
idea.
Yeah, it was really good. Yeah. And eventually they were like, well,
they joined forces, obviously.
Some of them did,
Okay.
Yeah. And then, like, so some of them, yeah, so they eventually, despite the Ultimate Universe's rule that they would never cross over with anything, they actually crossed over with the Supreme Power Universe in this Ultimate Power crossover.
So that was the rule for Ultimates. It wasn't just the regular Marvel Universe. It was any universe.
As I understand it, it was like, because the idea would be that it was like self-contained and kind of no multiple dimensions. It was too complicated, et cetera, et cetera. But then, so they crossed over, and then eventually Nick Fury ended up in the Supreme Power Universe. And then that was just a loose thread that was left hanging.
So he's there still?
No, he just came back.
He just came back.
He's just, I'm fine. I'm Samuel L. Jackson. Don't worry about it. I got this.
So, there's another example of something that's come over from the movies, obviously. The
Samuel L. Jackson version,
movies, I should say. Yeah, yeah.
Because that was totally his idea.
Absolutely.
They totally got his permission to have Nick Fury look exactly like him in the comic
books. We've talked about this before, but that is the story that both Marvel and Samuel L. Jackson tell.
Yes.
Now.
Yeah.
But years ago, before, I remember reading this, and you remember this as well, before Samuel L. Jackson was cast as Nick Fury, they said, hey, what do you think about them using your likeness or whatever? And he's like, yeah, that's weird, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
he wasn't unhappy about it, but he's...
I recall a reaction video. Okay. I don't think that's true though. I think I've made that up in my head, but I kind of recall like a reaction video of like somebody in a red carpet handing him a comic book and being like, what do you think about this?
And he thinks for a second he's looking in a mirror.
Yeah. So. Exactly. Yeah.
Great.
No, I don't.
I mean, who cares? I don't care.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, neither of us are Samuel L. Jackson or that's Nick correct. Fury. So.
What about this Valiant universe that won't die though?
Oh, well, Valiant. Well, Valiant's ongoing. It's not really defunct, but we can talk about it a little bit.
Sure.
Valiant started as... Oh, boy. Where can we go for this? It's kind of...
Open the Wikipedia. We'll just read it.
I will not. I refuse. I will not. Well, it started... Valiant started with some original characters and some like older characters from Gold Key Comics, which is this comic book... company in the 50s.
Yeah.
They did a lot of licensed stuff. They did like Star Trek comics and stuff like that. But they also did like Turok Son of Stone, which became Turok Dinosaur Hunter. They did Magnus Robot Fighter.
That was before the video game.
Yeah. It was in the 60s, I want to say.
Okay.
Cool. Maybe 70s. Maybe 80s. Maybe. Listen. They did Magnus Robot Fighter, which of course became Magnus Robot Fighter.
Of course.
Yeah. And a lot of the I don't know, I was a big fan back in the day, but Valiant was a lot harder to get when I was a kid.
Here in particular,
I didn't read it. So I read a lot of unconnected issues. There was you'd have your Eternal Warriors.
Yeah.
Those crazy immortal types. You had Shadow Man, you had
Bloodspot.
Bloodshot.
I'm reading that at the moment as well. That's really
pretty good, right?
That's really good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, so are you going through the Wikipedia?
That's no. I was just reading up something.
Look, I don't know. I'm glad they're back. They were acquired by Acclaim back in the day.
They became
Acclaim Comics.
Okay.
But that's Acclaim overreached. Like they got into like sports entertainment as well.
Oh, okay.
And the video and comic books and stuff. And I think they just folded.
They flew.
And then like a couple of years ago, just some billionaires were like, "Hey, remember Valiant?" Like
we're billionaires.
Imagine two of us, but successful. They were like, "Hey, remember?"
I cannot imagine.
No,
that.
Exactly. You can't do it. But they were like, "Hey, let's bring it back." And they started with Harbinger.
Yep.
And
which I heard is good.
Harbinger's really good.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, because they're going to bring back they're invested in some movie properties. They're going to do Harbinger.
Yep.
They're going to do Bloodshot, and they're going to team them up with Harbinger Wars.
Yep.
Harbinger is very good.
It's
very well written, but it's kind of a generic setting.
What do you mean by that?
Like, it's a young man and he discovers that he has amazing, you know, telekinetic psionic abilities, and then he's brought in by like a corrupt businessman who's also, you know, got psionic abilities, and he's got and he rebels against him. He's got a ragtag team of misfits and blah blah blah.
Sounds like everything I've ever seen.
Exactly. So what I'm
but
saying
it's well
is,
written,
I think yeah. So yeah. It's well written. So I think
well written.
But I think the key is going to be. Get good character actors and kind of make all these characters very memorable.
Sure.
Otherwise, it might get kind of, like it might become kind of a push or a.
That's exactly the movie I was thinking.
Sounds
of
like
when
Push,
you were
right?
That.
Yeah.
That's
so they're
exactly
really
it.
Gonna have to. Yeah.
Which I haven't actually seen. Have you seen Push?
No, I also haven't seen Push. It's on my Netflix list. Maybe it's great. We don't know.
I've heard it's okay.
Yeah.
It's got Chris Evans. So how bad can it be? Fantastic Four was pretty bad.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Yeah.
I mean, all of them. What was that universe I remember you talking about ages ago on the show where somebody had all the different universes in glass orbs?
Boy.
Oh, some shit.
You've made that up.
No, it's a real thing.
No, you've made it up.
Because that's what kicked up this whole thing. I remember there was an episode where you said, I'd like to talk about this at some... This is probably like 70 episodes ago.
All right. Well, then I don't remember. I don't remember what happened last episode.
That's a good point.
Mm.
What about... Look, Image isn't defunct. But no. Image took a big hit for yes. not being very good in the 90s. Well, for more focus on style over substance.
Absolutely, yeah.
And... Image now is pretty amazing. Like, yeah, some totally, of the best yeah. stuff comes out of Image. Mm. Like, Invincible, which was one of my favorite ongoing series, obviously an Image comic. But, you know, you had your bloody Spawn and you had your bloody... Other...
Yeah, I mean, the original lineup for Image mm. was a lot of style over substance.
Yeah.
Like, it was kind of... Because it was kind of it was the big name artists of mm. all the mainstream sort of the Marvel and DC,
yeah.
who believed they were getting a raw deal at those companies, and they kind of were,
yeah, absolutely.
Because the ethos at the like Marvel and DC has always been, and it's changed a little bit now, mm. but the ethos has always been everybody there works for a page rate,
yep.
So like you work, you do your day's work, you do your pages, mm. you get paid for that, and that's it. Like if yep. you create a character, they own the character. They make all the profits off the character.
Great. How would the Duck Switcheroo? Classic example.
Precisely.
Of that.
Yeah. Or, you know, like Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster created Superman.
Yeah.
They were presumably paid for that 20-page origin story or yeah. whatever. And then the billions of dollars in lunchboxes that DC has since made, they haven't really seen. I mean, they're dead, but yeah. haven't seen a lot of that.
I believe they're a state now.
Yeah, there's been some. There's yeah. been a lot of legal wrangling
yeah.
around that. Mm. But yeah, so all the big names. Your Todd McFarlane was working on Spider-Man at yep. the time.
Your bloody Jim Lee.
He got his own Spider-Man comic book for a while, which was very good. And yep. he kind of, like, he rebuilt he built a sort of really more dynamic look for Spider-Man.
He did, yeah.
Like, he kind of, like, you know, art for Spider-Man's always been good, but he kind of, like, he was like, okay, well, this guy who's got, you know, super strength and elastic limbs mm. and all this stuff, how would he look when he's swinging around the city? Yeah. And he kind of made it really kind of a great dynamic exactly, look yeah. for it. And, you know, he's not getting any more for that.
No. They're
just like, well, great, you know. He presumably got a pretty good deal for the... This was the height of the... Let's talk about comic book speculation
sure,
in the 90s, which
yeah.
was... In the 90s, comic books had a massive boom.
Why do you think that was?
It was...
Was it Batman 89?
Potentially.
Yeah.
I don't know, but comic books were just a huge business back then, and I think it's because you could just get them at newsstands.
Oh, okay.
That's not really a thing now.
Yeah.
But back in the day, you could just pick up one for, you know, 50 cents at a newsstand or whatever.
I don't know what a newsstand is.
Exactly. It's all comic book stores now. But I think, it was not uncommon. Like, if a book sold, like, 100,000 copies,
yeah.
it was out.
Yeah.
No good.
Yeah.
Nowadays, if a comic book sold 100,000 copies, that would be amazing.
Absolutely,
like,
yeah.
it was not uncommon for, like, a Todd McFarlane or a Jim Lee book or whatever to sell 500,000, 600,000 copies. The first issue of Spider-Man
yeah.
sold, like, 1.3 million copies or something like that.
It's too many.
Yeah, I know, right? It's crazy. But what happened is that they all decided to, you know, branch out, create Image Comics, a whole bunch of people whose names I can't recall.
Rob Liefeld,
Eric Larson.
The two we said before.
Yeah, Mark Silvestri.
Yep.
Wills Potatio, yeah.
Yes.
A couple other people. Anyway, and they
Wills Potatio sounds like a delicious dessert.
I know, right?
Or some kind of potato side dish.
Yeah, like a Wilst potato. But anyway, so they all came up with new number ones. It was, you know, Spawn, Savage Dragon, Wetworks, Cyberforce, whatever Rob Liefeld did.
All the classics you know and love.
All the classics.
What did Rob Liefeld do? I should know that.
No, he did bloody Youngblood.
See, the only ones from that, I'm like, there's still...
Savage Dragon is still around.
Still
and it's original.
Well.
It's still Eric Larson.
Is
like,
it?
It's not...
And there's a lot of good Savage Dragon stuff, isn't
yeah,
there?
Definitely, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Mm. But like a lot of that stuff, and it's weird because all those issue ones, they were selling, like people were collecting them thinking, oh, they're issue ones, they'll be worth
exactly,
something.
Exactly, that's true, yeah.
But when you sell a million, 1.3 million copies yes. of something, it yeah. is not worth anything.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because the rule of anything being worth something is it has to be at some point worth nothing to eventually yes. be worth anything. For example... The Star Wars figures. Yeah. Everybody bought Star Wars figures, played with them, got rid of them, threw them in a bin, a dog ate them, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But the people who kept them,
yep.
the very few, means that those, because they were worth virtually nothing, which means people turfed them.
Yep.
So people keep them, or had them for whatever reason, then they're worth a lot because they're rare.
Yes, absolutely.
But now, like, you got your limited edition Kylo Rens, they sell however many million that is.
And everybody buys one Everybody's to one. Open yep. and one to keep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which essentially renders them worthless.
Worthless.
Or their original price.
Yes, exactly. So that's the thing. Like, I read a thing on collectibles a while ago, and, you know, in order for something to be collectible, yeah, right, it has to, but it not only does it have to get to zero,
yeah.
it has to go below what's called the trough of no value. So it has to be worth negative money. So you have to be like,
I'll take these up.
I couldn't sell this, but also it's taken up space
yeah.
in this crate that I could be keeping.
This is like the Atari
old
landfill.
Batteries in. Yeah, it's exactly. Yeah, and so that was the thing about the 90s is people look back and they went, oh, super Action Comics number one featuring Superman.
Yeah,
that's worth at the time was worth like $27,000 or something yeah. like that, and now it's worth millions.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, so this is the number one, like this is the new crop of number ones from the new hot creators. All these books, all these characters are going to be legendary, iconic characters forever.
Yeah.
So we'll get these, we'll speculate, we'll buy all these, buy all the variant covers, and then in 20 years we'll sell them and make a mint. All the Spawn, Wetworks, Will Sportacia. No, he did Wetworks. bloody Shadowhawk.
Do you think, though, this could get into the trough of despair or whatever now that people are like, well, these aren't worth
yeah,
anything.
Well, they have to eventually, but I think the timeline is extended. I think it'll have to be like 100 years.
Yeah,
maybe,
absolutely.
At least. Yeah.
What's that line from Indiana Jones? You put like an old, like a trinket watch in the desert in 1,000 years, it's worth like...
That's whatever. Right, yeah, exactly.
It's a good movie. We should talk about those movies.
Let's do it now.
Man, that's fascinating to me. The whole collecting culture, though, is really fascinating to me. And whenever somebody says, oh, we found like this issue one of Superman in like a cedar box up in a mountain, so it hasn't seen like air for like 70 years, and it's just like perfect mint condition. Like, that to me is like, that's amazing.
I think that's amazing. Also, I read an article on sneakers the other day.
Someone's sneakers.
But like, I read the article basically is like, you know, there's people who are sneakerheads and they collect all the limited edition sneakers or whatever.
Sure.
A huge number of those, like except for the very early versions that have rubber soles.
Yeah.
Like all sneakers from like the 80s and 90s have like a polyurethane midsole, which is not interesting, but what is interesting
that is interesting. I disagree.
Polyurethane dissolves when it's exposed to oxygen. So like there are millions of pairs of sneakers out there, collectible sneakers, and somebody be like, oh, I haven't worn these in 10 years. I'm gonna put these on my collectible sneakers and I'm gonna have a walk around the house, and they just put them on and they disintegrate. So in order to maintain them, you have to keep them in a totally airtight like room and never use them or whatever.
That's amazing.
My point is, if you buy a cool pair of sneakers, just wear them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the point of them. Mm. And I think, I don't know, I feel like when you get people like buying up all the things and collecting everything, I think it ruins it for kids.
Yeah, boy, does it.
Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? There's this guy called the Russian Comic Book Geek, who I like a lot.
Oh, yes.
He does, like, dramatic readings of things. I did one of them recently. I'm really bad in it. But it's really good.
Who did you play?
Check out his channel. I played...
Were you Wonder Woman?
I played... Who was I? I played a version of Green Arrow. I can't remember which. But no, it's great. He's really good.
Should have been Captain Boomerang.
But he did this video called Comics Should Be For Everybody.
Yep.
And it's basically how he talks about a lot of the comic book industry has been hijacked by people who used to be fans as kids.
Yep.
This conversation turned to something completely else.
It's fine.
As high and people who loved comics who now go back to the store and just kind of buy up everything and then kind of shit on anything new and hate anybody who doesn't know a lot about a certain thing.
Right.
And you know what the thing is about comics or any kind of movie or anything for me is whatever level you like it at is okay.
Yeah.
You can be new to something or you could have a passing interest in something. That doesn't make you less... your opinion less valid or anything like that. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't make you less of a person because if you know less about Spider-Man than another person, maybe you just...
Maybe the exact circumstances of your birth and life haven't led you to liking and knowing the same amount about Spider-Man as a certain other person.
Exactly. You know? And that's why when movies come out and people get angry at... You know, say like the new X-Men movie comes out and people get angry at other people who go, you don't even like X-Men. You just jumped on the bandwagon because there's an X-Men movie. Who fucking cares, man? Like, people can like things or not like things. It doesn't matter. Like, if you're the biggest fan, great. If you're not, who cares?
Yeah,
none of this, again, I always say this, none of this matters. You just like what you like at whatever level you want to like it at.
Exactly.
And don't hate anybody else for whatever, wherever they're at with it.
Yeah.
Because there are people out there who know infinitely more than us.
Yep.
And that's great.
Sure.
That's,
you know what I mean? That's most people you're that's talking most about.
People, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay. Here we. Okay. I got a lot of options. I thought we'd go through these really quickly, and I'd be like,
we're gonna have to come back to this.
Yeah, we're gonna have to come back to this. All right. What are we up to? Like time wise.
Oh, I don't know. Hang on.
I'm gonna give you some choices if you want to go. If you want to.
Oh, now. Okay. I don't want to do it too long. We did a really long one last week.
Yeah, that's true. We did. All right. Okay. You've got.
We'll do one. Do you want to do one more? And we'll come back to. Or do you want to do a couple more?
Let's do two more. Oh, I reckon we can do two more. Okay. Right. Okay, here's your choices.
Right.
The Malibu Ultraverse.
You man wanted to talk about that for a while. What else you
got? Impact Comics.
Yep.
Continuity Comics or Techno Comics.
All right.
Comics is spelled TAKNOCOMIX.
You don't need to spell it. I've already chosen that one.
Right.
So definitely that one.
Yeah.
And Malibu because you've mentioned it before.
Okay, great.
Which do you want to start with?
Let's go with Techno Comics. Let's get it out of the way.
Excellent.
Techno Comics is not... It's not a shared universe.
Yeah.
But I did think... I just wanted to bring it up because it completely went out of my mind and then I just... And I've gone completely out of my mind.
Sure.
And whoever created it went completely out of my mind.
Yeah.
But okay, here's some names for you.
Gotcha.
Leonard Nimoy.
Great.
Gene Roddenberry.
Okay.
Isaac Asimov.
Wow.
Neil Gaiman. Mickey Spillane, detective author Spillane. All of these people presumably wrote a brief idea on a napkin and then gave it to somebody else to write a comic book about. Because that was Techno Comics in a nutshell. So we had Leonard but people should Google image search this sort of
stuff
when we do it. We had a Leonard Nimoy.
What era was this?
This was the 90s.
Okay,
That's my wheelhouse.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the greatest number of failed comic book universes and companies came from the 90s.
I'd agree with that.
So we had Leonard Nimoy created Primortals, which was about a bunch of alien dinosaur, like anthropomorphic dinosaurs that came to Earth.
Right.
Pretty good, right?
No.
Neil Gaiman created Mr. Hero, the pneumatic man, who was like a steampunk, imagine a gold steampunk butler with like a mustache.
From what era?
Oh, like the 1800s, but he was also like, he was from like an alien civilization of weird lizard men.
What's that sweet robot story that's out at the moment?
Bicentennial Man.
That is a sweet, no, he's like, he's Tesla's robot. It's an ongoing series. It's really good. I've been reading it. It's like Tesla built this robot.
Oh yes,
and he like fights through the decades.
It's not Atomic Robo.
It's Atomic Robo.
Okay,
that's what that sounds like to me. It sounds like Atomic Robo, but like steampunk and not as good.
Not as good, definitely. Mickey Spillane, the creator of the Mike Hammer detective stories.
Yeah,
like famously, he created Mike Danger. Who was exactly the
He's
same?
Not even trying.
Exactly the same character, except transported into the future. So instead of having a sweet 45, he had a ray gun. It's pretty great. So you can like, I don't know how they built this line. Like there was, I remember at the time there was like a big lavish opening. Like they had a big party and like people, like Mickey Spillane was there and all these people.
Yeah. Who did you say Gene Roddenberry did or you didn't?
I'd have to look it up. Give me a second. I'll bloody look it up. Yeah, I would be fascinated to know how this universe was built.
Yeah.
Not shared, but this publishing.
Is it shared, the universe?
No, the universe wasn't really shared. Gene Roddenberry's Lost Universe.
Okay.
I think he was dead. See, that's the thing. I'm fascinated to know how they built this because...
Do you think his last words were, Lost Universe, as his brain cut a fire?
Exactly, And I they must have just gone to various people... And said, would you agree to have your name attached to this thing?
That's what that sounds like, yeah.
Now come up with, now say two words. And Leonard Nimoy went, space dinosaurs? And they went, oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
And Mickey Spillane went, the stuff I normally do but in the future.
Have you read any of these?
Yeah, no, I read quite a lot. I actually quite like Mr. Hero.
Okay.
Apparently they, I think Neil Gaiman...
he's a very talented writer.
Yeah, he produced like four. Like, there was Lady Justice was another one.
Okay.
Technophage.
Lady by day, Justice by night.
Precisely.
Great.
And yeah, I read an interview with somebody who was like a ghostwriter for this.
Yeah.
And they did, like, he provided like a quite a sketchy... like a series Bible for it. Okay. But I do think like your Nimoys and et cetera were probably just like
space
dinosaurs.
All of that sounds amazing.
Pretty good,
that's
right?
That's obviously defunct. That's not a thing that's happening
that's gone.
Anymore. So who put the money into it?
Look, I don't know any of the answers to this. Techno Comics.
How do you spell that again?
T-E-K-N-O space K-O-M-I-X. Yeah, but like Mickey Spillane, I think they must have drawn on gotten Mickey Spillane. And I'm saying his name a lot because it's rare that I get to use say the words Mickey Spillane together. Spillane. But he started in comic books.
Okay, did
like he wrote some he wrote some timely comic stuff before it was Marvel.
Wow, yeah, that's some old stuff.
Oh, here we go. Here's the quote from Mickey Spillane. This was on his Wikipedia page. I started off at the high level in the slick magazines, but they didn't use my name. They used house names. Anyway, then I went downhill to the pulps, then downhill further to the comics. That's what he said back in the day. And then I guess that's how they got him back. I don't know. Anyway, that's pretty great.
When did he die?
Quite recently. 2006.
That's not too
good
long.
Good run.
Yeah, that's not a bad
88.
Run. 88. Bloody hell.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about the Malibu Ultraverse. It was just called the Ultraverse, but
why Malibu?
Well, Malibu Comics was Malibu created a whole bunch of different comic books back in the day. They created a Street Fighter comic book, which was, let me tell you, no good. But boy, I tried to like, but I also tracked it down.
Oh,
like it was
really?
Very hard to get.
What style are we talking with that art?
Not sort of semi-realistic, like not like your anime kind of style.
Like an airbrush?
Yeah, sort of. But not like photorealistic either.
Okay.
But like somewhere in the, it was no good. Anyway, the point is
the writing or the art,
any of it. But they did an assortment of other stuff. They published the original Men in Black before it became the movie.
Oh, okay, cool. That's supposed to be really good.
The comic book series?
Yeah.
It's all right.
You know, there was an animated series from the late 90s which is actually pretty sweet.
I remember that. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in the original comic books, Jay is white, I think.
Okay.
They're all white.
Sure.
Everybody's very white.
Sure.
But, Ultraverse was their superhero line.
Okay.
Which I actually really enjoyed.
Hmm.
Like, we had standouts. We had Firearm, who was a man with a gun. It was pretty good. Pretty sweet.
I'm disappointed. I thought, I pictured a man with one arm on fire.
Fire, yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
And a gun.
And that was the first cover image. But then below that was a slow, it just said, you won't see any of this. Brackets, it's just a guy with a gun. Who else? We had Prototype, who was your Iron Man kind of character.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we also had Nightman.
That's the TV series.
The TV series.
Is that the same guy?
Yeah, same character.
Excellent.
Who was a crime-fighting jazz saxophonist, cool and hot jazz, who was struck by lightning and it gave him the ability to sense evil. And then he had like a super car or something.
What do you mean sense evil?
I don't know either.
Is it like that guy's having a bad thought? Is it like pure evil, like demonic evil?
I think it's probably a combination. Yeah.
Sometimes
but
he's
anyway,
a bad day and he'll come up and slit your throat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like Minority Report.
Exactly.
But for me, the best part of the Ultraverse was a character called Prime.
Yeah.
Who was sort of a modern day and... modern day 90s gritty reboots, they don't mix, but he was like a modern day version of Captain Marvel. You know, Captain Marvel was Billy Batson, little kid.
Yep.
You know, got his powers through magic, the wizard Shazam, gave him powers or whatever. But Prime was this kid who, as a result of genetic tampering while he was in his mother's womb, when he grew up and got to puberty, like he could undergo this incredibly disgusting transformation where his body would like explode like green pus. Like and then it would form like a superhero form around him, and his subconscious would like determine how he looked, kind of thing. And so he was this kid who grew up in comic books, and so when he transformed into this, you know, this towering caped man who could fly and was indestructible and stuff like that. And it was actually interesting, like as the character developed.
Was he all green?
No, he was like a. Everybody should Google these.
No, I just mean like.
Oh, the goo was great.
The goo was great, but then when it formed around him, it changed to whatever color he wanted to be
totally.
Or whatever.
Hang on,
okay.
Prime.
Beep. Boop, boop. It's weird your iPad makes those noises.
Yeah, I know, right? There's Prime.
Okay.
Which, no, here's the thing. He looks like the first image, if you Google Ultraverse Prime, he looks like a Rob Liefeld Image Comics
character.
He
looks like a parody of a
man. Exactly. Like he's
supposed to be, though.
Yeah,
isn't he?
He's got these ridiculous unrealistic muscles, and he's got the little feet.
Yeah.
And he's got the huge billowy cape. But yeah, that's the thing. And like as the character developed, his idea of what kind of hero he should be developed, and so the character changed looks.
Okay.
Like when he met Firearm, who was
the guy with the
firearm.
With the gun.
Yeah. And sort of, you know, who was like this, you know, this over-the-top kind of hard-boiled ex-secret agent special ops guy. Sure. Like he was like, well, now heroes have got to be, you know, tough and cool or whatever. Mm. So when he became Prime again, he was like, he lost the cape, but he gained like stubble and a mullet and like lots of chains and necklaces and kind of, and he became like a more hardcore version. And then he evolved again. He's like, what am I doing? What am I doing with my life? And then he became sort of more superhero-y again.
Okay.
So it was quite a, but the what killed the Ultraverse ultimately.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it was kind of, The Ultraverse was actually quite a lot of fun. Mm. The what killed it ultimately, I think, was that they were mad for a crossover, but to the extent that, like, it wasn't like, here's an event and it's a crossover. It was more that every issue crossed over into another series.
Too much, yeah.
So it was kind of like, so if you were a fan of Prime and you read it, and then you went and you read the next issue, you'd be like, he's got a new belt. Where did that new belt come from? And then it was like, see Firearm issue 9. You're like, God damn it, I don't want to have to go back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't like that.
No.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it can work.
Yeah.
You know, because DC are moving towards no continuity. Basically.
Yes.
Not no continuity, but like they have Batman running around in the Justice League, who's Bruce Wayne, but also their current version of Batman in Batman is Jim Gordon. And they're just running concurrently, and there's no kind of real... I'm sure that maybe there is an explanation.
Is he a reboot? What version of Jim Gordon is he?
He is Jim Gordon, New 52 Jim Gordon, he's about 45. He quit smoking.
Because he looks... I haven't watched full issues of that, but he does look like he's about 25.
No, because he shaved his mustache and he's got like a Macklemore haircut.
He does have a Macklemore haircut. Yeah. Exactly.
Macklemore?
Macklemore, yeah. Macklemore,
thank you. Mm. Yeah, no, but he's in training, basically. That's why he looks like that. Okay. But yeah, that's the idea.
Yeah. But so anyway, if you're going to track down... I didn't talk about how disappointed I was about any of these. I forgot that aspect of it. I had that cider, if you recall.
Yeah, that's true. Just sound like you've had a lot of fun.
Yeah, look. Ultimate Universe, meh. Techno Comics. Look, I kind of want to see what OneNote comic books they create. So I'd like to see them come back. If you're going to track down anything from the Ultraverse Prime,
definitely
fine. The thing is, the Ultraverse was acquired by Marvel, and then they just sank it. Like you can't get reprints anywhere.
Okay.
Like they don't, and it's kind of nobody knows why. There's kind of it's kind of a mystery. The rumor is because they don't really because like everything else they've sort of reprinted as trade paperbacks or whatever. But Ultraverse they don't bring back. There is a rumor. Because we were talking about before about, you know, the big two companies, it's kind of work for hire. Mm. You don't get anything after you've done the job.
Yeah.
Like there is a rumor that when they acquired the Ultraverse, they missed a loophole in the contracts so that every time they reprint it, the original creators get 5% of the profits.
Oh, okay.
So that's the rumor. So they're like, well, we can't do that because, you know, we don't want to give away any sweet
that's
coin.
That's right, yeah.
But there's also, I found this quote is actually on the Wikipedia page. Joe Quesada, who was the editor-in-chief at the time, this was like 10 years ago, he was asked if they'd ever revive the Ultraverse. And he's like, there's rumors out there that it had to do with a certain percentage of sales that has to be doled out to creative teams. I mean, that's a logistical nightmare because of the deal was structured. It's not the reason why I've chosen not to go near these characters. There's a bigger one, but I really don't feel it's my place to make that dirty laundry public.
Oh.
So we don't know why, and I can't find out why. I did a bit of digging, but if anybody knows...
Yeah, someone might
let
know.
Let us... Weekly Planet exclusive.
Tell us.
On a decades-old property that nobody uses anymore.
Say, yeah.
Weekly Planet exclusive.
Do you think if we broke that story, anybody would run it?
No. Ooh, I think the fine folks at comicbookmovie.com.
I was going to say I could write that article, but, I probably wouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Writing's not really my thing.
Righto.
Well, that was good fun, Nick Mason.
We've got more, so next time.
Valiant. You like that one? You like that one?
Yeah, we'll come back to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, okay, I mean, so, you liked it, like, because you were talking about...
Oh, yeah. No, they're definitely. Yeah, they're making good strides.
Great.
So next time, maybe we'll cover the new Marvel's new universe, which I was a big fan of.
Yep.
Impact, which I was a huge fan of back in the day. Comics' greatest world.
Someone should...
And Continuity Comics, which was Neil Adams' baby for like 10 years, and it was insane. The whole thing was insane.
Can somebody... write those down and then tweet them to Nick Mason in like 6 months.
Yeah, please do, because otherwise I'll forget.
Yeah. And then we'll all know.
Yeah.
Good fun.
Good fun.
Good memories.
Yeah.
I feel like we could have probably done more of them, but oh well. That's all right.
How much time we got?
Oh, we got... No, we probably should.
No, let's do it.
We should move
to it's real late here. Yeah. It's real
it
late.
Is. It is bloody late. All right. You know what it's time for then?
Oh, what we're reading?
What we're going to read. I'm doing the thing.
What are we reading today? What are you reading?
I'm reading a book. Oh. Well, actually, the reason I bring this up because Zoe Saldana was cast in this movie. It's called I Kill Giants. I may have mentioned it before.
Maybe.
Actually, I actually have a copy of it, like a physical copy, and I don't have a physical copy of a lot of stuff. But it's basically about this girl she's kind of an oddball kind of character.
Uh-huh.
And she's in like lower high school. And she's under the impression that all these giants are, that she kills giants essentially.
Right, okay.
And that they're coming to this small town to kind of to take her on or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And so there's a whole lot of back and forth in terms of how much of this is in her head and how, or if it's actually real. And there's kind of, there's like the whole lot of fantasy elements in it. But again, it comes back to whether these things are real and it,
yep.
And it deals with like, you know, like grief and loss and like high school issues and being yourself and all sorts of cool stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see that movie.
Uh-huh.
And I'm also, and that's a, it's a really, really good read. And again, it's, you know, it's a standalone thing. You can, it's, I don't know, whatever it is, 4 or 5 issues. I can't remember. Uh-huh. But it's solid, and that's exciting to me to hear that that's going to be a thing.
Yeah.
What are you reading today?
What I've been reading today, listeners may know, you may know.
I might.
I'm a big fan of Warren Ellis, author Warren Ellis.
Yep, yep.
He's got a little Kindle, I guess they call it a Kindle single. It's like a 40-page story, Electrograd Rusted Blood. It's on Kindle.
Okay.
And it's kind of like a... It's a murder mystery in this weird...
A murder and a mystery.
Yeah, I know, right?
Mm.
Who would have thought to combine the two? But it's a murder mystery set in Electrograd, which is this weird city that's got it's a city of kind of like experimental architecture and like weird... Like it's kind of a test bed city for weird stuff.
Okay.
And so you...
Like a Tomorrowland.
Like a Tomorrowland, exactly. Yeah.
For that one person out there who saw Tomorrowland.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. But I don't know. It's a good fun. Good fun,
okay,
little,
great,
little book. And it's like $2 on Amazon.
Great.
So check that out.
Kindle single. Doesn't quite rhyme.
No, I don't like it. It's unpleasant to say. And people think you're rhyming as well. Like you're going to sing a little song. I don't like it. No.
We don't sing on the show either, do we?
If you like... I'm a big fan of, and I'm going to mispronounce his name, but China Mierville, who's kind of like a weird, he does like weird, super weird sci-fi set in weird universes.
Cool.
This is not quite as weird, but if you like Warren Ellis and you like that whole kind of thing.
Sure.
Get into it.
I will, maybe.
Yeah.
Yay. I've got a what we're reading here from Josh.
I'm ready.
He's the official Canadian emissary of the podcast. Have you guys checked out the Image miniseries by Brian K. Vaughan called We Stand on Guard?
I've heard the name. I haven't seen it.
Me neither.
Read it. Reddit.
Reddit it.
Reddit it. But I like Brian K. Vaughan.
Cool.
What's it about?
I'll tell you.
Okay.
It's a pretty... You actually wrote that here. It's weird. It's a pretty cool series, just into 2 issues now, but I'm liking the world it's creating. In the future, United States have invaded Canada to get our sweet, sweet water. I'm wondering what...
So it's the movie... It's the movie Canadian Bacon.
Is that a real movie?
With John Candy.
Is that a real movie?
Yes.
I have read this. I read the first issue.
Ah,
yeah, it's great.
Great.
Well, the one I read... I think it had a big robot kind of tank kind of thing in it.
Just like Canadian Bacon.
I could go back to this. Exactly. Yeah, definitely. I should go back to that. Do you think America will, the US will ever invade Canada for real?
No.
How do you know?
Oh my God, I don't know.
Great. Letters?
Yes.
Okay.
I want to see if there's a letter theme.
Oh, do you have a letters theme?
Edit point.
Edit point. I think I can actually bring one up if you can't.
Okay, great. Ooh, I found one.
Excellent.
Okay, so for those who don't know, James refuses to edit in another theme, a letters theme.
I refuse!
Week. You bloody, God damn it. You'll be the death of us both. So what I would like, what I like is if listeners could record their own letters theme.
Yes.
To like a theme or just whatever you feel. Lately we've been going with whatever you feel.
Yep.
Put it on YouTube, tweet me the link, and then I'm just going to have to play it through my phone because that's
correct.
The only way we're going to get a sweet letters theme every week.
Yeah, man.
Okay, so this week, Alex Snipes has sent one in.
Excellent.
Says letters theme for episode 101 of the Weekly Planet.
All right.
So that thematically is right on point because this is episode 101, right?
That's right.
Okay, great. We're very good at this.
We are. We're the best.
Anyway, we're going to play this real through. Anyway, ears unheard.
Ears unheard.
Let's see how this
goes. How do you like it?
Oh, fade out. Oh.
I like it. Yet again, raising the bar for whatever this is, yep. Whatever it's become.
Whatever this shambles is that we've created. Thank you very much.
Any requests for next week?
Nah.
Anything out?
Freestyle it.
We can't keep saying freestyle.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
Okay, if we know the topic ahead of time, which we don't.
Correct.
We'll make right. a request.
In the meantime, freestyle it.
Okay. Hello, junior editor and Meso.
Yeah.
My name is Ben and I'm from Kansas. I love the show and just wanted to test Mason on his knowledge. How's this sound?
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Not really.
I don't know this, but you might.
Okay.
Of D-Man, a.k.a. Demolition Man
yeah.
from the 80s.
Yes.
Not the movie. I assume.
Another character. He's got a big D on his chest.
Great. He has the worst rap sheet of any comic book hero I can personally remember. What can you remember about him? You've already named a thing that he's said here. What else do you know about him?
Well, hang on. What was the thing that I named? He's got a big D on his chest.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is a fact.
Because he's got here, he wears Daredevil's shirt.
What, is that an actual fact?
Well, not, but like the design, I assume.
Oh, I see. Right. But surely that's a double D.
Yes.
Look, this whole thing. Well,
you knew who he is. You know who he is.
Yeah, I know who he is.
Okay,
he's sort of a mishmash because he kind of looks like, imagine old school Daredevil,
yeah,
like the yellow one. So he's kind of got the weird trunks,
yes,
but the yellow arms. But he's also got like Wolverine's head.
That's exactly what he said. He's got Daredevil's shirt and Wolverine's mask.
Right.
Mm. Do you know his origins?
So in the Marvel universe, if you don't want to waste time. Getting bitten by a radioactive spider.
So time consuming.
Or walking into a gamma bomb blast radius or whatever. You just go to a guy called Power Broker.
Yep.
And he just gives you superpowers.
That's what he said. He originated as a man who took superhuman steroids for a superhuman wrestling circuit.
Oh, there we go. I think, because he fought, I think other people were sort of drawn into it. Like he punched on with a thing at one point.
Okay.
I want to say he fought the Beyonder, but that doesn't seem fair.
How about this? I'll list some things here maybe and make up some.
Here's an unrelated fact. US Agent, who's the Captain America's successor, also Power Broker.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. True or false? He once led a hobo army.
I'm going to say false.
I don't know. He put it here, so I assume it's true. Right. I don't know for a fact. He once almost beat Captain America to death.
What, is that a question or a fact?
Question. I mean, everybody's beaten everybody to death.
Yeah, exactly. At some point. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. How about this? He has horrible hygiene.
I'm going to say that one's false, actually, now that I think about it.
I think it's true.
Okay, right.
He's just listing. He has horrible hygiene.
He looks like a man with horrible hygiene.
Yeah. And he nearly got him kicked off the Avengers. Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah.
If Mason does remember him, give him a totally awesome high five. If not, a quick, swift kick to the balls.
Look, we're slightly too far apart for either of those.
That's true.
So let's save one of them up. Let me know what it is later.
It's from Gilberto.
Oh.
Hey, guys, if you could have the Dark Knight trilogy Batman in the DC Cinematic Universe, but Green Lantern has become canon, would you have it?
No.
Plus, am I your first fan from Mexico? I don't think so. I don't believe that is a thing.
I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
And only. First and only.
I love listening to the show on my way to school. Thanks. I don't know. I don't want any of those things. I'm happy. I like the Dark Knight movies.
We want listeners from Mexico.
Yeah, was that not clear?
It seemed like you were saying we don't want any of those things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, I like the Dark Knight movies in general. The third one has its problems, but I don't think that Batman works in whatever universe this is going to
be. That Batman is not going to survive one punch from Superman.
No, that's right. Mm. And I mean,
or General Zod flipper hands.
Exactly. And, you know, Green Lantern, obviously, no, none of that. Yeah. None of that bizzo. Good question, though, because a lot of people, you know, did want to see that Batman kick on. And there was talk about apparently they threw a whole lot of money at Christian Bale to kind of come back and do this. That's the rumor. So there you go. One more, Mason.
Yes.
These are kind of linked. Hey, James and Nick, can you please explain the difference between adamantium and vibranium? I know they both exist in the Marvel Universe, which is actually a stronger metal. Love the podcast. Keep doing what you're doing, or don't, whatevs, from Michael S. My understanding is that adamantium is a man-made metal substance, and vibranium is actually from a comet or a meteor. That's my understanding of it. Do you have anything else to say?
Look, I don't know the origins of adamantium.
Yeah.
Or vibranium for that matter. I think, they mine vibranium.
Yeah.
But you're saying the way it got there is because of a meteor.
That's my understanding.
Right. Adamantium is unbreakable.
Yes.
Once it's been forged.
Yes.
Vibranium isn't.
Yes.
But it has weird physics defying vibrational absorbing abilities.
Yeah.
So Captain America's shield is made from a blend of vibranium and something else, probably like steel or whatever.
Yeah.
Which makes it unbreakable.
Okay.
But vibranium inherently in itself is not indestructible. It's only Captain America's shield that's indestructible.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I know.
Because I thought that adamantium was like an attempt to replicate vibranium, like a man-made attempt.
Oh.
But who knows? I'm more on the topic, Mason. Love the show. Just wondering if you could answer this with your comic book expertise.
Adamantium is an alloy. You're right. It's man-made.
Sweet.
Yeah.
And I already asked NerdSync, but I think Scott is busy. I like NerdSync. He's a good dude.
Uh-huh.
Does Hulk have a better healing factor than Wolverine?
Mm.
I don't think he does. I think he's harder to hurt, but he'd probably heal slower.
Yes. And you have to, I think these days,
they'd have to distinguish them somehow.
Yeah.
And they couldn't just make the Hulk heal faster than Wolverine?
No, because Wolverine can heal. Again, at this point, Wolverine can heal from like total body disintegration in a page.
Yeah.
So I've never seen the Hulk do that.
No.
Mm.
Mm. There you go.
Yeah.
But they're both good at different things, aren't they?
Hulk's better at science.
Sure.
Yeah, more as an example of what not to do.
Sure.
Than as a,
Yeah. A living example.
And Wolverine is a better example of how to not let your guard down around like super secret agents who will abduct you.
Absolutely.
Mm.
Yeah. Both pioneers in their fields. All right, I think that's the show for this week.
We did it again.
Thank you to the Bruton Basilisk for the themes.
Yeah. Thank you to Fergal Quigley.
Yeah, he's the
who
best.
Who is our resident artist who often he will tweet an artist rendition of what happened in this episode.
Yep.
So we've got a nice one for episode 100. We've got a couple of us hanging out in the man cave. Those have been great.
Just the regular room.
Yeah, pretty great. I think he's at Fergal Quigley on Twitter.
That's it. Yeah. He's a good dude. I like his work. I like what he's about.
Yeah.
Where is he?
Where is he generally?
Yes.
I think he's in a good place.
It's pretty late, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Where can people find us?
At Weekly Planet Pod. On Gmail and Twitter and Facebook and Bandcamp.
Yes.
And I'm at Wikipedia Brown.
I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies. And if you want to follow the show, if you follow The Weekly Planet on Twitter.
Great stuff.
That's
from that gentleman.
That's a bloody Raw Collings. Bloody
yep, that's the one.
Doing awesome stuff over there. Next week, something else?
Yep. Patreon.com/Mr. Sunday Movies.
If you want to support the show.
Yeah. We're just listening for free.
Yeah.
Whatever. We do.
do we?
Yeah, I guess so.
I guess. No, we pay some money to host for hosting.
Oh, yeah.
We're losing money.
Listen, hand over fist. No, we're fine.
We're fine.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
That's the show. Grab that gem, everybody.
Please do.
Say a catchphrase. Just pick one. Say anything.
That's my old laptop. I've got to get rid of that. This one.
Great. I can't wait for the t-shirt design for that one.
It's got a Blu-ray player.
Huh.
It was one of the first. I have three laptops.
Jesus.
It's too many. One's for torrenting. One's this one that does nothing. And one's my real one.
That all has to be on the t-shirt, by the way, just so we're clear. Just,
I like how I looked around the room for a catchphrase and then I just James's realized day I had to planner. Throw out a computer.
Yeah, great, good. Okay, bye everyone. Bye.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.